Well, happy Advent, everybody. We're now officially 18 days away from Christmas, the happiest time of the year. As you know, I'm a Christmas lover. I love everything about Christmas. And for those of you who dread it, for one reason or another, I'm very sorry for my excitement. But as you know, I can hardly contain my glee. Anyway, today we're going to be kicking off a brand new message series for the season of Advent leading all the way up to Christmas Day that we're calling A Cozy Christmas. Take a look. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be hearing some comforting messages in the scripture readings about how God comes close to us at this time of year, like family. The story, of course, culminates in the birth of the Son of God, a baby boy, the Savior of the world, you know, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, protected by Mary and Joseph, surrounded by the glory of the Lord and accompanied by shepherds and wise men. These are cozy, comforting, consoling images, and they remind us that our God will never abandon us. He will always be with us. So in this series, we're going to talk about spiritual comfort and what that means. We're going to learn how to prepare our hearts and souls for the coming of the Lord. How to find peace for ourselves through all the hype of the Christmas shopping season, how to create cozy and comforting spaces in our homes, and how to bring spiritual comfort to others. Now, to do that, I'm going to need to teach you something about Scandinavian culture. And it's a new word for your vocabulary. When I was a little boy, my grandmother from Sweden would travel to America every couple of years, and she would stay with us for a long time, like months at a time. And I always loved having her because she made things warm and cozy. Every afternoon I would come home from school and I would look forward to seeing her. I was kind of an anxious child, you know, I worried about a lot of things, schoolwork and friends and this and that, so my grandmother, whom we called Mormor, which is a Swedish word for mother's mother, well, she would make me a cup of herbal tea and some warm cheese toast as a snack every afternoon. We played games and had fun together. It was cozy, it was warm, and it just made me feel good on the inside. It must be a Scandinavian thing because a few years ago, a lifestyle originating in Scandinavia started to sweep the globe. You know, Scandinavian countries are consistently rated as having the highest levels of happiness anywhere in the world. So people obviously want to emulate that. And the word for this lifestyle that has now become mainstream is called hygge. Hygge. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. And I need you to remember this word, so will you say it with me? Hygge. Hygge. It roughly translates to coziness, comfort, or snugness. And I want you to remember this word because we're going to be using it a lot over the next few weeks. Hygge is like a sense of togetherness and warmth, a world, you know, lit by candles and snuggling under blankets. Picture a group of friends wearing some Nordic patterned sweaters, you know, sipping warm spiced wine or hot chocolate while chatting and laughing together on a cold winter's night. Candles throughout the warm and cozy living space break through the primal darkness outside while a wood fire roars in the background. If you can imagine that, that's hygge. Even the word itself sounds cozy, kind of like a hug. Of course, our world today isn't very hygge-like. Every time I turn on the news, there's bad news. Wars in the Holy Land, in Ukraine, mass shootings, natural disasters, and political instability in our own country. When you think about it, it's kind of like a scary place. But actually, that's been true throughout history. For example, the ancient Israelites also went through a very tough time. They were terrified. We heard about this in the first reading today from the book of Isaiah. You know, they were conquered by a foreign power and forced to live in exile. And this was a collective trauma for them. But now, in this reading, they've been invited to return to Jerusalem. And some of them have already come back home and are starting to rebuild. But the restoration was sputtering. Rebuilding Jerusalem was not proceeding according to expectations. In fact, it was a profound disappointment. The prophet Isaiah, writing at the end of the 6th century before Christ, was worried. He saw how the old social trappings with injustices between the rich and the poor were coming back, and how the remnant who had come home to a land decimated by war didn't really seem interested in being committed to their identity as Jewish people. The leadership had once again become corrupt, using their positions of authority to enrich themselves at the expense of the poor. Many started fasting for God to come and make things right. But as long as there was injustice, oppression, and conflict, Isaiah said the restoration would continue to stall out. What Isaiah wanted to see was a new Jerusalem. A new Jerusalem with people who would work for justice and righteousness and worship God from the heart. He firmly believed that the temple in Jerusalem would become a house of prayer for all people, that one day Jews and Gentiles alike would stream to Jerusalem to learn about God and to worship Him. And on that day, there would be no more social and cultural distinctions. It would be a miraculous transformation, an ideal society. And in today's passage, Isaiah pleads with God for this to happen. He says, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes of your heritage. Too long have we been like those you do not rule, who do not bear your name. O God, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you." The prophet uses all his skill to move God to compassion and forgiveness, including confessing the sins of his people. Look at what he says next. He says, "Behold, God, you are angry, and we are sinful. All of us have become like unclean men, and our guilt carries us away like the wind." Finally, at the end, Isaiah pulls out all the stops. He expresses his hope that God will, in fact, come to their rescue. He says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father." Now notice something here. He doesn't call God a righteous judge. He doesn't appeal to God's power and might. He calls him Father, because a father provides intimacy and warmth. A father signals family. A father means home. Like a mother, a loving and good father gives comfort and protection. In other words, he's an important source of hygge for his family. Now you may be wondering, where did that New Jerusalem ever come to pass? Where have we ever seen a society like that? I mean, was Isaiah wrong? Did his vision ever happen? For Christians, the New Jerusalem Isaiah was talking about is the movement of people gathered around the person of Christ, otherwise known as the church. And although the church has suffered numerous challenges of certain points at certain points in history, including today, it is still a family. The church is still a family watched over by a loving father. And it can be a place of intimacy and warmth. You see, hygge is not just about cocoa and warm socks on a cold winter's night. It's not just about snuggling with family or warm tea and cheesy toast to comfort a nervous child. Hygge, in fact, is at the heart of our Catholic spirituality. Every Sunday, we gather to sing familiar songs and chants in a safe place where all are welcome. We're greeted with warmth and hospitality. We light candles and share an intimate meal of bread and wine that is the Lord Himself present among us. And we become food and drink for other people through our caring and through our love. No matter how you're feeling when you enter church, most people begin to feel better when they're here. When we exchange the sign of peace, there's just such a feeling of warmth, intimacy, and coziness that spreads through the whole church. I love it. Watch yourselves this weekend as the scene unfolds. You can actually see the tension melt away on people's faces. During the Mass, we also remember our loved ones who have gone before us. And moved by charity, we pray for the comfort of the whole world. It's this liturgical hygge that brought one Catholic mom, Elizabeth Carroll, back to church. In her blog, she wrote that the hygglig mood, hygglig, that's the adjective for hygge. She says, the hygglig mood in church is exactly what I think Jesus wanted to give us, a truly sustaining peace. And as a family, we all can leave here and bring that same comfort to an upset world. Jesus urges us to slow down this Advent season. He says in the Gospel, be watchful, be alert, stay awake, and live in a state of spiritual awareness for the coming of the Lord. But you know, you can't really be watchful when you're drowning in shopping errands. You can't really be alert to the things of God when you're running around checking off all the things you need to do on your to-do lists. You can't really be spiritually aware when you're trying to comply with every request or demand this holiday season. Ironically, you know, it's not the slowness of a still and peaceful heart that can make you drowsy, but rather the endless distractions of a frantic world. If you've been part of this parish, even for a short time, you've probably seen this woman, this powerful bundle of energy darting around our campus. Her name is Lisa. Lisa is the director of our children's programs, and she never seems to run out of steam. I remember last year around this time, Lisa came in for a meeting with me, and it was very strange because she started like moseying in, you know, taking her time. I thought something was wrong, like maybe she was sick. She slowly sat down on the couch and gazed out the window at the scenery for a few moments, and then started breathing in and out in long, slow breaths. Well, I just sat there wondering what the heck was going on, and I was feeling more than ready to get started with the meeting. Finally, she unpacked her things and opened her notebook, and it was like she was moving in slow motion. Then she said, you know, Father, I've made a resolution. I'm going to slow down and savor every moment of life. Astonished and a little annoyed, you know, I was speechless. Knowing Lisa as well as I do, I finally managed to say something like, well, okay, that's great. Well, the next week, she came in for our meeting, plopped down on the couch, didn't gaze out the window, and plowed right into the material without as much as a hello, Father. Her resolution to slow down lasted less than a week, but her intentions were great. In the fourth century, Saint Anselm wrote this, "Insignificant man, escape from your everyday business for a short while. Hide for a moment from your restless thoughts. Break off from your cares and troubles, and be less concerned about your tasks and labors. Make a little time for God and rest a while in Him." A spiritual moment is anything that inspires us the deepest respect and, even for the briefest moment, stops the heart. These moments are all around us. They pervade our daily experience. But we end up missing them because we're focusing on the minutiae of the daily tasks and we have to do and growing more and more impatient in the process. Hygge can help us. Hygge can help us slow down. The Nordic art of creating intimacy involves a certain kind of conscious awareness, a slowness, and the ability to recognize and enjoy the present moment with other people. More than anything else, we need to slow down and trust in God to break into our lives and bring us comfort. If we really want to be awake and ready when the Lord comes, we just really need to slow down. And if you have trouble with that, if you need help with that, slowing down, you're in the right place. Because church, it's kind of like a Hygge factory. We make it here. We make it for you. So join us every Sunday, in person or online, to receive the comfort, warmth, and loving communion of God and His people. Stick with us for this entire series, and let us accompany you over the next few weeks until Christmas to bring spiritual comfort to yourself and to others this holiday season.